says put an S for super. In the blank for each item you see is strength of our minister and W for weakness. That's really good.
Hey.
Just one or the other. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to answer this. Ready? Let me get my pen out. Leading worship sermons. Okay. I have some opinions about my sermons. I'm going to say they're a little long. I'm going to give that a go. But you know, they're good. Even though they're long, I'll put an S. So I got a W/S. I hope that's not too confusing. Visitation. Weakness. I really wish I was doing more on this one. It's tough, though. This one's tough. This week, we had a lot of people who really could have been in for me for being able to visit them. But my wife is out. But I don't know. Maybe I could have worked better to find support to make that happen. But I'm going to give that a W. Working with committee, groups, officers. I'm giving this a W. You know what? I'm giving this an S. And here's why. I've seen people work poorly on this. And I've done better than that. So we'll give that one a strength. Honoring commitments. I've made a few commitments. I don't know if I've honored them. We'll give them a W. Sharing his own faith. Sharing my own faith is tough. You know, when you look back at your history, I'm 36, I'm not super old, but I've told my testimony by now about 100 different ways. I've started to confuse myself. So the only thing I do when I talk about my faith is I talk about Jesus now. Because he's the only thing that's been steady in my whole life. Not even I trust my own eyes, but I trust him. Sharing my own faith, I'll give it a W. Weakness. Interaction with children or youth. Guys, I have children, but we're putting down a W, okay? Let's do this together. We'll get it out of the way. Interaction with adults and seniors. I'm going to say this one's the best. And here's why. Because I just love them so much, those seniors. Now, which one are you going to claim being a senior? That's the game. Community engagement. This one's trickier because we have a huge community. Like, we're small, but in terms of community, we're huge. I don't think I've done anything nearly enough. I'm going to give myself a W on that. Availability, W. I have children. I have a wife. I have my own incompetence. So we'll put a W there. Future changes we'd like to see. Try. Okay, here's what I'll do with these. These next ones, I'll preach a sermon. How's that sound? Okay. I know it's supposed to be anonymous, but I want you to know that when I look at this sheet, I don't see a lot of strength in myself. And I only say that because I want to empower you. To be honest, hold me accountable. But here's the thing. There's a difference between holding someone accountable and encouraging them and strengthening them up. Because I do think of all of you as my boss. But you know that there are good bosses, and you know there are bad bosses. And a good boss, when he does a performance review, when she sits down and she tells, well, here's where you were strong and here's where you were weak, they come up with a plan. And that plan is agreed upon. And that plan is then followed for the next year. And then performance reviews reflect the review of the last year. So what we're doing is we're coming up with a way that we're trying to think about our church. Isn't that the right thing? Ultimately, what we do when we judge our pastor, what we should be doing is we should be saying, what is Jesus' vision for our church? And is this guy at least getting us close? Or is he getting us farther away? And if that's what we were talking about, I'm giving myself an S. A huge S. I'm going to write that down. No one asked, but I'm putting myself there as an S. Are we aligned with the vision of Jesus Christ? Yes. Why? Because I'm incapable of anything else. When I was a young man, it was very clear that I had issues with attention. It was also very clear I had issues with emotional stability. When I was 11, I attempted suicide. Who does that at 11? That's wild. By the time I was in 8th grade, by the time I got into high school, that stuff was leveled out. And do you want to know why? Because I found Christ. I finally understood what Christ was for me. I finally understood that my chance to find satisfaction in this world exclusively hinged on Jesus Christ. And I found out very quickly that that was weird. Because a lot of people in this world, they have found, or they think they will find, satisfaction in a bunch of stuff. I see a lot of Chiefs shirts out here. Good for you. I believe in it. It's the Falcons tonight? Are you kidding me? I will say their defense looks okay. Grady, what do you think? Yeah, you don't even bother with them. Love that. You have a name yet? Like nickname? When George Karlaftis was signed, I was really excited about the nicknames. Furious George was good. Socrates, because he's got all the Greek to him. All that to say, you know a person's role and you evaluate them by how they do it. My role is to bring the word of God to you. I'm not from the disciples' tradition either. Not only am I obsessed with Jesus and fairly dismissive of everything else, I've really struggled to find a home in the denomination. I really have. Denominations want you to sign on to some things. They really want you to agree with a bunch of stuff. When I was in seminary, I was very excited to join the Evangelical Free Church of America, which I'm sure none of you have heard of. They have big hitters in there, though. I don't know, are you guys familiar with a guy named Chuck Swindoll? He was really big. He's a huge preacher. He's an excellent preacher. But he's getting up there. They wanted me, in order to be ordained, to agree and to affirm premillennial eschatology. Now, how many of you even know what that is? Yeah, I got one guy, and he's smiling because he knows what that is. That's a silly thing to demand out of someone. And I didn't join him. Pentecostals, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. They want me to tell you that unless you speak in tongues, you're not saved. How do you feel about that? It's nonsense. It's not in the Bible. But they wouldn't let me in because I didn't believe that little thing. I've been in Baptist churches. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. I think up until middle school, early high school, all the way even into high school, I was in Baptist churches. And I think we're familiar that they also have strong opinions on things. Not all of them I agree with. And so I couldn't fit in there. I found it very difficult to find a place where I could just simply do my job. And what is that? Jesus! Preach Christ. Matthew 13. This is my whole life. These verses are everything. I'm sorry. Three verses. You know, if they're so big to me, I should at least know how many there are. 44, 45, 46, chapter 13. Jesus has gone through the trouble of explaining the kingdom of heaven to us. And the basis of the kingdom of heaven, very simply, the world is evil and rebelling against God. And so what it is, the world has become a place of extortion and violence, brutality, judgment, a place of harshness and scarcity and sickness and demonic oppression. And Jesus shows up and he says, that world is coming to an end. God is taking charge, starting with me. And then he demonstrates what that looks like. He walks up to people oppressed by demons, and he just simply with the word, he says, get out of him. And the guy is freed. When a leper comes up to him, who has been estranged and alienated by God because of something he's had no control over, Jesus touches him, defying all of the Mosaic commandments, all of the traditions of his people. And instead of becoming sick and diseased himself, the man with leprosy becomes clean. This is what Jesus does. He says, the world is one way, I am the other, and I am coming. And it's awesome. But it's all about this kingdom. Verse 44 in chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. We can do this one now. Let's say it's harvest, right? Or Gary, how you doing? It's raining, so you're able to join us today, right? Yeah. People call Gary the farmer. I think you probably can guess why. I don't think it's a very creative nickname, I'll be honest. Let's say you are out there. You guys till, right? Let's say you're tilling. Maybe it's, I don't know how to farm. I'm making this up. So be nice, okay? You're going out in the field. It's long past harvest. Let's say it's after summer a little bit, and it's time to get things ready for planting. I'm just going to look. He's just smiling. He knows I have no idea what I'm talking about. Let's say you're tilling, and the tiller breaks. Hit something in the field. Hit something in the field. And you get out, and you're, of course, Gary, let's be honest, Gary's cursing. I don't know. Are you cursing anything? I do. I'm cursing. This is me doing this, so I'm cursing. Because it does sound like farming is a lot of machine work, huh? And it seems like most of what you're doing is fixing, repairing, buying, wishing you could buy, stuff like that. So you look and you see the tiller, is what I'll call it. It's busted. And it busted on this metal chest. And you pull out the chest and you open it and billions of dollars of gold doubloons! Now here's the thing, Gary, that's land that you've been renting. That's not your land. Well, let's see, what do we do? This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found, covered up. Then in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Gary sells the broken tiller, sells all his combines, sells the house, sells the shed, sells all of his stocks, or whatever retirement you have, cash, 401k, cash, do you have insurance with cash value? Cash, all of it gone. You have a few clothes that someone might give you a few pennies for. You sell some of your overalls. You keep a few pairs of clothes because you need to have clothes to make this deal. Because if you show up naked, crazed, I must buy this field, I've sold everything. No, you're still trying to keep it cool. But you found it. No one knows about this. Gary succeeds, he buys the field. End of parable. He says, then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. End of parable. That's the whole parable. What is the kingdom of heaven like? It's like something worth giving everything up for. In fact, it is that. You have to lose it all. Next one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had bought, or went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is risky moves, isn't this? Basically, what he's saying is he is good at selling pearls. He has a buyer. He knows exactly who would buy that pearl for everything it's worth. And all these other chumps, they just have oysters or clams or I don't know where things come from. But he knows the value. And while everyone else around him, kicking their feet, looking at, let's assume that maybe this is a flea market. What would this be like? In my basement, there is a snare drum. It's a super fine plug wood, 1960s. It's got a nickel cadmium alloy. It's priceless. I love this thing. It took my earlobe off when I was walking upstairs in sixth grade. I was so excited for my first day of band. That's the kind of nerd I am. I love this snare drum. It is very valuable. None of you have a clue. If you looked at this thing, you'd say, this rusted hunk of junk. Why does Dan love this so much? Why did he steal this from his dad? The answer is, I know what that's worth. And my dad doesn't have the heart to take it from me. And we'll see if I can hold my own against Ethan and Lily if they'd ever want such a thing. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Guys, this is me. I am sold out. This is my whole life. I went from this absolutely despairing, just wildly emotionally unstable kid when I was 11. Let's say it wasn't 180 degrees. I still have emotional things to deal with. But I found Christ, and I realized it was beautiful. I realized what he wanted from us was amazing. And I had some dark times where I was really concerned and I wasn't able to find something that could make me excited. I had legit depression. I looked at the world and all it did was make me despair. I don't want to do math. I don't want to play sports. Video games aren't even interesting to me. Everything is so dark and terrible. It was really rough. And at the end of the day, when I found Christ, it brought color to my life. And I went all in. And here's how I feel. I feel like the guy who bought the field, but first he went out and he said, guys, let's buy this field together. We can share it.
And everyone just, what are you talking about? That feels useless.
But look at all the gold!
Gold?
Yeah, but we don't do gold where I'm from. We're more about silver.
What?
Well, that's a steel box. You could find it in a farm, and I don't really want to get my boots dirty.
What?
I go to the guy who I buy the pearl. I take it to him. My guy, my buyer, I said, look at this thing. This is outstanding. No one's ever seen, this is so beautiful. And the guy looks at it and he says, I don't know. I'm kind of over the pearls now. That's how I feel. Regularly. I've given my life to Christ. And I've gone to community, begging them to take Jesus seriously. And it always gets drowned out. Always gets drowned out.
I want to share some statistics with you.
But I need you to listen carefully. I got to make a whole argument. So don't guess what I'm saying until I tell you what my point is, okay?
This is the Wikipedia page for the Christian Church of Disciples of Christ.
It's a mainline Protestant Christian denomination in the United States and Canada. The denomination started with the Restoration Movement. If you're not familiar, that's great. During the Second Great Awakening, first existing during the 19th century as a loose association of churches working towards Christian unity. Then slowly forming quasi-denominational structures through missionary societies, regional associations, and an international convention. In 1968, the Disciples of Christ officially adopted a denominational structure, at which time a group of churches left to remain non-denominational. So what we have in the Disciples of Christ is something like a bunch of people getting together and they're saying, guys, we love Jesus and we're kind of sick of all this stuff. One of the founders, he went to go take communion. This isn't a pioneering communion. He went to go take communion. And the person giving communion in one of these revivals, tent meetings, says, where's your token? Your token? Well, you're a Presbyterian. You're supposed to be accredited and given a token so you can have communion with us. How can we know you're a real Christian? That founder was appalled, rightly so. And started a movement of minimalism and traditions and creedal requirements. This is why I can be a part of the disciples. They're not asking me to believe in premillennialism. They're not asking me to affirm whatever the Southern Baptists are into these days, which seems different a little bit every other decade. The disciples don't ask me to affirm or deny positions on issues of gender, on human sexuality. Why? Because frankly, here's why I think that's valuable. Our society is split on that stuff. And I don't have time to talk about it anymore. Do you think we need one more fat white guy talking about gay people? No. Amen. We do need someone talking about Jesus. And I will talk about Jesus. And I guess I'll be honest, I have opinions about that stuff. And it's traditional. It's vanilla. It's boring. If I set it up here, you guys would be like, okay, big surprise. Why'd you even bother? Exactly my point. Do you want me up here giving you my Facebook bio so you can like it? Or do you want me to teach Jesus? That's what I'm about, guys. Now listen. Here's the tough thing. The denomination is referred to by several versions of its full name, including Disciples of Christ, Disciples Christian Church, and DOC. A little tough to understand. But the point is, it's got a lot of names. The Christian Church was a calendar participant in the format of the World Council of Churches, etc. So we got a lot of stuff going on in the history of the disciples. I can't keep track of it. In 2008, there were 679,563 members in 3,714 congregations in the United States and Canada. 2015, this number had declined to baptized membership of 497,000. And 3,000 churches. And of those churches, only 306,000 were active members.
and only 177,000 attended Sunday services each week. Do you understand what this number says? It's saying that by 2015, only 177,000 active members existed in the Disciples of Christ. In 2018, the denomination reported 380,000 members with 124,000 people in average worship attendance. By 2022, membership had dropped to 277,000, 89,000 of whom attended worship on average. By 2022, so we had gone from, and this is official record, and this is just 2008, because the disciples peaked in the 60s and then a little bit of a blip in the 70s. That's been gone for decades. What are the challenges the disciples are facing? What's the point of the decline? Why is this happening? It's very simple. When people don't see value in something, they don't go for it. When people don't see value in something, they don't go for it. Now, we can have an argument. Is that their fault? Can I be honest? I'll say, yeah, the disciples, I like the disciples. The more I learn about their history, and I mean the disciples, I mean this denomination that shows up in the 60s. I like it. But I'll be honest, it's a little distracted right now. It's a little distracted. It's a little bit like this guy shuffling furniture on the deck of the Titanic. You can see the numbers, it looks bad. Real bad. You lived it, didn't you? This church declined, didn't it? That's not your fault. You guys probably worked really hard. It was probably very difficult to see person after person after person either lose interest, get hurt, or leave. But you stayed. Good on you. But it's clear something's going to change, huh? What do you think that is? Here's the thing. We all have opinions on what should change. But I do know that we all agree on one thing, and it's been the central pillar of this denomination in its entire existence, and it's that we believe in Jesus Christ. I want to do something special that I thought I'd never do. I'm going to wear disciples' robes as soon as I buy them. The first Sunday of every month. First Sunday of every month. I want you to know, I like the disciples. I'm about the disciples. I'm down. Because I think we can work this out. Because I think I see in the disciples, in its history, and its traditions, I see a potential to answer questions that this world actually needs answered. Because in its conducting of itself, it has done it very well to say, no, 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 we're about the Jesus guy. Well, don't you want to talk about Reagan? No, 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 the Jesus guy. Well, now what about Trump? The Jesus guy. Every year, this anxious country of ours finds another reason to get scared and look for something silly. And then obsess about that silly thing. Don't you feel it? Don't you see it? Doesn't it feel like every year it's the same thing? It's always been like this. I remember when it was Facebook 2007. Facebook 2007. And it was just college students, and we were all still complaining because they took ranch dressing out of the salad bar. Oh, you guys, it's not even that bad. It's worse because they replaced it with fat-free. That's not ranch dressing. It's like a square circle. That's a category error. It's not ranch dressing unless it's got tons of fat. Good stuff. Good for your bones. I don't know. I'm thinking that. We need to stop attaching ourselves to the anxieties of our nation. We need to stop attaching ourselves and answering questions of people who don't even know where the North Star is. We are the ones with Jesus. We are the ones with Christ. I say we preach Him. I say we go whole on. We just completely give everything to Him. I think we sell everything when we buy that pearl. Because it's the only thing that makes it happen anymore. I love my kids, but you've had kids. A lot of you have had kids, and you know there are up moments, there are down moments. I don't have down moments with Jesus, guys. I don't have down moments with Jesus. This week was real hard. I do a lot of, like, existential dread stuff, and I know a lot of you wonder, what is Daniel doing all week? And I'll tell you, I don't want you to know, but I will. I'm in prayer.
begging for help. Not in prayer, begging for light. Because church is tough, it's messy. But Jesus sent me to you. He said, preach me. I said, well, these people want me to wear robes. I've never worn robes. Wear a robe once in a while, boy. What's wrong with you? If that's all they want you to do, if that's all they're asking you to show you, that you're willing to connect, that you love them, that you care, put on a robe. Okay, I'll put on a robe. Don't forget to buy it. That's probably going to happen. Here's the thing, though. We do have a worship committee that's got, I ordered a whip on Amazon. 2-day shipping. It'll be here Tuesday. That's a lie. I didn't do that. Maybe I should, though. The worship committee is going to keep us on this. I need help. I need accountability. Because I'll be honest, I'm not a disciples guy. I'm going to fanboy for them. I will. I'll do it. I'll do it. But you understand, like, we have to, when we go to the disciples, we have to give leadership. That's my point. We need to lead them. Because we figured it out, haven't we? It's Jesus. And we got good people in our region. We've had Ron, the first time I was at this church, Ron Rutledge preached. It was good. That dude's right. He's legit. He's the real deal. And word on the street is, this is a little gossip, and I shouldn't do this blind bulk. Word on the street is, and I don't blame him for thinking this, he thinks I'm just some little boy riding the coattails of his wife's career. Guess what? He's right. It's pretty sweet. He just sounds jealous to me. Dude is legit. I love Ron. David Van Horn, I had a meeting with David Van Horn a couple weeks ago. Legit dude. And he made it real clear for me. He said, listen, Dan, you got a credibility problem if you don't get this, if you don't get right about these disciples. He's right. There's the good, wonderful people in here who need me to take this seriously. And I will. I told you guys I would be ordained, and the disciples, I'm pursuing ordination. That's happening. But I need you to understand, it's going to be tough for me. It's going to be tough for me. Because I'm an evangelical. And I will tell you what an evangelical actually is. First thing an evangelical is. Evangelicals are weird about the Bible. We're weird about the Bible. I believe that when I form my worldview, this is the first thing I read and try to understand. When I want to try and understand something, an issue, a person, I remember what I read in this text. That's the first thing I go to. It's not the only thing I go to. That's what a fundamentalist does. A fundamentalist stops at the Bible. The evangelical then reads, you know, I don't do this because I'm lazy, but also might read a scientific journal or two. My wife does that. I'll just ask her. So I bring other stuff in. But I love the Bible. I've spent my entire life learning this book. When I went to seminary, I had classes on Hebrew and Greek, rhetoric, exegesis, all kinds of wonderful classes, all about the Bible, and I took as few leadership classes as I could. I didn't know what a line item was when I had my first church job. I didn't know. I didn't know that accounting was a part of church. Well, guess what it is? Had no idea. Couldn't be bothered. I'm sure someone tried to teach me that. Wasn't in the Bible? Not interested. Thank you. Second thing Christian evangelicals are about. Pietism. This is weird because modern evangelical voices do not talk like this. But evangelicals are pietistic. We come from that annoying group in the Lutheran church in the 1600s who were like, this church isn't... This is just a state church. This is just people going to work. This is just community service programs. I want a relationship with Jesus. And the church would be like, well, yeah, it's kind of a lot of work, and we're really kind of doing something else over here. So instead of doing the wrong thing, which is rebelling, recluding, moving away, they decided, hey, we'll just be more hardcore in our church. So they became churches within churches. Then they got kicked out because they were weird about the Bible. But that pietism, that personal relationship with Jesus, that's what I'm about. I'm about a personal relationship with Christ. And I believe that the main way in which I access that relationship is through reading the scriptures and faithfully devoting myself to their teachings. The Bible doesn't save me, Jesus does. But I wouldn't know that unless the Bible told me. You understand? There are some other things that an evangelical is that I don't actually care that much about. It doesn't. You notice I didn't say anything about voting? I mean that.
Evangelicalism first got its name in the early, I think, mid-1700s, when in whole swaths of revivals were breaking out all over the United States, and you had guys like George Whitefield, you had guys like John Edwards, you had people from all kinds of traditions working together to bring the gospel to the whole country, this new young country. That was the first one. Evangelicalism shows up as an idea. So then you have evangelical Catholics, evangelical Anglicans, evangelical Puritans. And then in the early 1800s, a second great awakening happens, and that's where the disciples come out of. Instead of the frontiers of Georgia, now it's the frontiers of Kentucky, which my pop-pop's from Kentucky. I had a thing where I would only drink bourbon whiskey, because I told everyone he was from Bourbon County. I didn't bother looking it up. It just seemed cool, doesn't it? That shows you what my priorities are. But I can go disciples. I'll do it too. But I'm not going to do it disciples. I'm going to do it evangelical. The parts I like. The reason I'm saying all this is because I want you to understand this stuff all matters, but and you matter. What you do and the way you feel, it matters to me, deeply matters to me, but I want you to understand that it gets to a point, if it gets to a point, sometimes it does, when I feel like it's taking away from the Jesus thing, I'm going to get weird. I'm going to get depressed. And I'm not going to stand for it. I don't have it in me to digress too much. But I promise you, it's because I believe in Jesus. And I can't tell you there's not a disciple who wouldn't be all about me saying that. There's not a disciple who would say, why are you even worried? Why are you even saying this out loud? Do you have baggage or something? Of course you're about Jesus. Come join us. That's the whole thing. You notice we do open communion. That's not an accident. That's a disciple's tradition. And one of the reasons we do it every Sunday, to make a point. Guess what? You don't have to bring a token to have this communion. Do you need a membership certification? No. Tell us you love Jesus. Tell us you're devoted to Jesus. That's fine. Or don't even tell us. We'll just assume you made that point. We want people with Christ, and we do as little as we can to put things in their way. All right, all that ranting to say, I want to remind us of the verses we read, because this is where I am, this is who I am, and I want it to be you. I want it to be this church. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Do you see the value in Jesus? Are you willing to give it all? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. These parables are about two excellent things. Recognizing the value of the kingdom when no one else does, and giving everything to it when no one else would. These are the people who inherit the earth. You want the earth? I do. It's on me. Amen. Let me pray for you and invite you to join us. If you are someone who is struggling to come to faith in Jesus Christ, I really strongly come up here and let me pray for you. I don't need a decision now. We don't need to do anything today. But let me pray for you. If you're someone who wants to join our church in membership, now you can do it. You can come up, you can talk, and we can announce. Or we can talk over the week about it, and we can do it privately. If that's you. But we need members. We need people helping us out. Membership is important. Here's what membership does. It's just a formal way of us saying, will you commit to us, and we will commit to you, and then you say yes. And then we get to do some real discipleship, because you've entered into a covenant where you said, hey, I want this Jesus guy. Will you help me? Because I'll help you. Do you understand? It's a little bit more intense than simply just coming to church. But it's needed, because this building, these people, we only gather because of our commitments to each other. So I suggest you think about that. Join us in that commitment. If you've been baptized, if you've not been baptized, you think about baptism, think about that. There's all kinds of stuff to think about. That's the point of an invitation. The point is to say, and now you think. I talk too much, so I'm going to stop, but now you listen. You think. Get the Spirit. Ready? So let's do it. Sheila, will you go ahead and start us off with the hymn of invitation, please? Take My Life, number 609.
1, 5, and 6. Oh, okay. Well, if you got a... You got it? Does anyone know a cappella? Who wants to stand and sing for us all this whole song by themselves? Let us stand, though. We've probably got some folk who want to stretch their legs. Noah? We got it? Tight ship we run. I love it. It makes me proud. We good? All right.